Welcome to Redmond Radio. I'm your host, Michael Domingo. Thanks for joining us again. This week, Windows 7 pricing and discounts are unveiled. Performance Point Server gets a reprieve. Microsoft releases a planning toolkit. And a hotfix is issued for a SharePoint SP2 glitch. Plus, PC sales are expected to improve. We'll cover the news after this quick interlude here on Redmond Radio. Welcome back to Redmond Radio, the weekly podcast updating you on the latest IT news to come out of Redmond. I'm your host, Michael Domingo, and I thank you for downloading and listening to the show. First of all, I'd like to say thanks to all my listeners out there, but I have no idea who you are these days. Can you do me a favor and just send me an email and tell me what you like about the show, maybe what you don't like? Some feedback would just be appreciated. I'm just basically working in a vacuum and wondering, you know, ways, how I can improve the show, maybe, or even just, an idea or two on, like, what kind of coverage you folks are expecting out there. We do a lot of news around security, for example. Is that stuff actually useful? I love surveys because those are actually fairly easy stories to report on. Surveys are kind of like the lifeblood of a news organization when there's nothing going on, basically. But, you know, there's some interesting news, like the one this week on Gartner forecasting better than expected PC shipments and things like that. That kind of news is bodes well for the industry because, you know, you're looking at a recession right now and, you know, it's been global, but, you know, people tend to be buying things that they seem to be important, you know, like PCs. And why is that? I have no clue. I haven't bought a computer in the last 5 years, for example. So anyhow, would love some of your feedback. You know, I haven't covered certification use, for example. Certification use is, I think, it's kind of like a, it's not important to people these days as much as it has been in the last maybe, you know, well, maybe 7 or 8 years ago. I'd say that, you know, when Microsoft's certification program was pretty, you know, pretty stable and doing well, you know, you guys appreciated a lot of the certification use that was coming out because they were just coming out with exams and, you know, people were trying to pass them to get a foot in the door. These days, you know, looking at our last surveys, actually even our last couple of surveys, certification doesn't seem as important because most people have been in jobs that are very, very stable. I found that to be true just about every year. You know, once you've gotten a job and you really just basically go for training, but really the certification doesn't amount to much. You know, it used to be one of those things that you used to gauge your ability to learn a product. But, you know, it's a recession. In fact, last couple of years, you know, people haven't seen a need to actually spend money to figure out whether they've really figured out a product. You know, they're fairly well-versed in, you know, prior technologies and maybe migrating over. Tell me if that's what I'm sensing out there regarding certification. So anyhow, if you want to write to me, I'm at mdomingo@1105media.com on any of those types of topics. You know, it's just kind of a random thing right now. But, you know, if I know you're out there, that'd be great to, like, at least hear from you. That is mdomingo@1105media.com. That's mdomingo@1105media.com. Also, I also have at the office, I have a phone line that's open, 949-265-1564. You can leave a message there. Be sure to leave your name and your phone number and an email when you do leave a message. That way I can get in contact with you and, hey, you win a t-shirt if I get you featured on the show, all right? It could be just about anything. Give me a shout-out. Give a shout-out to your folks at work or even your mom, who knows. I'll take them all. And the ones I use on the show, if I get a phone number and an email, I'll certainly give you a call back or send you an email back and let you know that you've won a t-shirt, all right? Okay, one more thing. I would like to thank everybody who filled out the survey for the Redmond salary survey that's coming up. I'm also looking for people to interview based on those results. And if you are one of the people I call back, you'll get basically a sneak preview of the results. That'll either happen by phone or by email. And if you're interested in giving some of your thoughts on the numbers, email is probably the best way to go. And I need those numbers really quick, so just give me a buzz back. You can call me at 949-265-1564, or even better yet, leaving me an email at mdomingo@1105media.com. That is mdomingo@1105media.com. All right, now that that's out of the way, let's get to the news. Gartner reported a better-than-expected first quarter for PC shipments and is now forecasting a healthy market recovery in 2010, according to a release statement. George Schiffler, research director at Gartner, said in a telephone interview that he expected a very bad first quarter, but it didn't happen. Quote, looking at it, consumer demand was much greater than expected. The bump in PC shipments may be temporary, however, because it was attributed mostly to a restocking of inventory by distribution channels. The report notes that mini notebooks helped drive the consumer side, even though the space recorded its first quarter-over-quarter decline to date. Schiffler said the gaining popularity of the smaller computing device is mostly due to price. Schiffler said that while they are declining in popularity, desktop machines will not be going away anytime soon. The report notes that PC shipments were better than expected in all markets except for Eastern Europe, and that consumer shipments were stronger than business shipments. Gartner expects to see positive growth in PCs in the fourth quarter and a 10.3% gain next year. In other survey news, the downturn in the economy is affecting the role and spending strategies of IT organizations. That according to a Harris Interactive survey commissioned by Microsoft. The study polled the opinions of 1,200 IT professionals in the US, UK, Germany, and Japan. Overall, about half or 55% of the respondents said that the economy had changed the role of IT in their organization. Respondents expected to spend 37% of their IT budgets on innovation versus maintaining current systems. About 48% have kept their focus on driving business efficiency. Cost-cutting turned out to be less of a concern among the respondents, with just 30% saying they spent less. Security continues to sap IT pro energies, of course. The majority, or 73% of respondents, said that protecting customer and company data is the main concern for IT decision-makers over the next 1 to 3 years. Those IT pros with money to spend on infrastructure described their priorities in the survey. Two-thirds plan to purchase at least one of the following technologies: virtualization, security, systems management, and cloud computing. That according to the Microsoft's announcement on the survey. The survey seemed yet another confirmation of the effects of a generally grim economy. But Bob Kelly, Microsoft's corporate vice president of infrastructure server marketing, said that IT organizations are generally falling into two buckets. One side has retrenched and is holding on, and the other is using this economic downturn as a strategic opportunity to move their businesses forward, he said. He cited virtualization as one example of this kind of innovation. Quote, there is an increased focus on things like virtualization as a way to create not only cost reduction, but actually modernize their IT, he said. The survey was conducted by Harris Interactive between April 9th and May 5th this year. Microsoft last week announced Windows 7 consumer pricing, an upgrade program for new PC buyers, and a limited-time discount offer that started on June 26. Microsoft will offer discounts on June 26 of more than 50% for those willing to pre-order Windows 7 in certain markets. U.S. buyers can pre-order Windows 7 Home Premium Upgrade for $49.99 or Windows 7 Professional Upgrade for $99.99. This discount offer ends on July 11th in the U.S. and Canada. It ends on July 5th in Japan. In the UK, France, and Germany, the Windows 7 pre-order upgrade discount offer will begin on July 15th and end on August 14th. The Windows 7 pre-order upgrade discounts are available while supplies last through retail outlets. The price will vary by country, according to the Windows blog. Those interested in pre-ordering Windows 7 can do so on the website. Additionally, Microsoft is offering an upgrade option program for buyers of new Vista-based PCs from participating OEMs or retailers. The Windows 7 upgrade option program starts on June 26 and will last to January 31, 2010. Under this program, which will be in effect worldwide, buyers of new Vista-based PCs can get a free upgrade to Windows 7. This free upgrade applies to three Vista editions, including Home Premium, Business, or Ultimate. Users will get a free upgrade only to the corresponding Windows 7 edition that they have on their PC. OEMs will ship PCs with Windows 7 in all languages on October 22nd. Estimated full retail U.S. pricing for Windows 7 is as follows. Upgrade to Windows 7 from Home Premium is $119.99, Windows 7 Professional is $199.99, and Windows 7 Ultimate is $219.99. A fully packaged Windows 7 Home Premium will be $199. Windows 7 Professional will be $299, and Windows 7 Ultimate will be $319. Microsoft's new Windows 7 upgrade option program for consumers and small business does have a catch. The offer is restricted to buying 25 PCs or less. The idea behind both programs is to offer a free operating system upgrade as an incentive for consumers and small business buyers of new PCs, even as a new Windows operating system enters the market. The 25 PC restriction was not well publicized when Microsoft first disclosed the Windows 7 upgrade option program. Michael Silver, Vice President and Research Director at Gartner, pointed out this restriction in a Gartner News Analysis article, which lays out some purchasing strategies. Silver noted that a loophole may exist when buying PCs from some OEMs, who sometimes have their own upgrade programs that make exceptions compared with Microsoft's policy, he explained. Kurt Mackey, our writer, checked with Dell on the 25 PC restriction via an online chat with a salesperson. The Dell sales agent suggested that there isn't a limit on the number of PCs purchased, but a ZDNet blog by Adrian Kingsley Hughes got a different response from Dell. Dell stated, according to that blog, the number of Dell Windows 7 upgrade kits allowed to any one customer is capped at 25 per physical address. Customers with more than 25 PCs are encouraged to pursue volume licensing. A Microsoft spokesperson confirmed the 25 PC purchase limit for those taking advantage of the Windows 7 upgrade option program. Beyond that quantity, the spokesperson pointed to Software Assurance, which is an option in Microsoft's volume licensing program. Software Assurance participants can get software upgrades within a 3-year term. Silver noted that Microsoft actually expanded the new PC purchase limit, which was 5 PCs under the Vista Technology Guarantee Program. Still, he suggested the limit was there mostly to direct organizations toward purchasing options like Software Assurance. As we wait for Windows 7, Microsoft is working with the government to establish secure system settings that are expected to become the federal desktop core configuration for Windows 7. Earlier this month, Microsoft released the alpha version of its security guide for the new OS. At the same time, it's working with the Defense Department to harmonize the setting with the FDCC. Ideally, the two components will constitute a single standard for secure configuration when Microsoft releases the OS this fall. The FDCC grew out of the Air Force IT Commodity Council's effort in 2006 to develop a standard software configuration for Microsoft OSs. Despite officials' concerns about the practicality of applying a single software configuration in a broad enterprise with thousands of users, the program succeeded in cutting costs, improving security, and reducing the time needed to update security patches enterprise-wide. In 2007, the Office of Management and Budget adopted the settings for Windows XP and Vista as the FDCC and required their implementation in 2008. It's not the first time the government has worked with Microsoft before the release of an OS, said Steve Quinn, a senior computing scientist at the National Institute of Standards and Technology. The National Security Agency, the Defense Information Systems Agency, and NIST worked with the company on configurations during the pre-release stage of Vista. Microsoft unveiled a surprise concession for users of its Office Performance Point server product a few weeks ago, a new financial planning accelerator offering that could extend the life of that product for some users anyways. In January, Microsoft disclosed plans to discontinue Performance Point, which debuted after a lengthy community technology preview less than 2 years ago. Performance Point's scorecarding, monitoring, and analysis capabilities will be folded into Microsoft's forthcoming SharePoint Server 10. Redmond plans to discontinue Performance Point Planning Server, which officials claim was used by only a fraction of Performance Point users, and to fold Performance Point's budgeting and forecasting capabilities, along with the assets of its FRX forecaster, in addition to some as-yet-unspecified planning capabilities, into its still-incubating Management Reporter product. The short-term upshot was that Microsoft's move left users of Performance Point Planning high and dry. That's where the new FPA comes in. It isn't so much an accelerator as it is a disclosure of Performance Point Planning source code. Partners and customers who license the FPA are free to do whatever they want with it, including developing Performance Point planning-based offerings or services. On the other hand, Microsoft isn't publishing the Performance Point planning source code or otherwise making it available via either a Microsoft Public License or Microsoft Reciprocal License. Instead, customers must sign a more restrictive licensing agreement, under the terms of which they must agree to forego any support for anything that they develop in conjunction with the FPA. And one more news piece before we head into a quick announcement. Microsoft rolled out a beta of its new planning tool, which is designed to help its partners and customers migrate to products within the Microsoft stack. The beta contains an assortment of new features to address Microsoft's new OS. Microsoft added a Windows 7 hardware and device compatibility assessment tool, a Windows Server 2008 R2 hardware and device compatibility assessment tool, and several virtualization assessment tools. Microsoft describes the toolkit as agentless and scalable to allow customers and partners identify servers, workstations, and network devices in an IT environment, including Active Directory and workgroups. In addition to carrying out hardware and device inventory, the toolkit can be used for compatibility analysis and migration strategies. The new assessment and planning toolkit can inventory up to 100,000 machines in an environment in a matter of hours, according to Microsoft. We'll continue with more news in a second. Let's break for this message from 1105 Media. Check out this webcast. System Center Operations Manager users get more value from your deployment. Watch this free on-demand web seminar and learn how to integrate, automate, and extend Microsoft Operations Manager to better align to operations processes. View it now at 8d.vu/7d93. That's ad.vu/7d93. And welcome back to Redmond Radio. We've got a couple more news items to finish off this podcast. Here's one on Dynamics Service Pack, which is being supported to extend for 2 more years. Microsoft announced last Tuesday that it's extending Service Pack support for its Dynamic products for up to 24 months. The change in policy applies to various Microsoft Enterprise Resource Planning and Customer Relationship Management products, including Dynamics AX, Dynamics CRM, Dynamics GP, Dynamics NAV, and Dynamics SL. Previously, Microsoft provided Service Pack support for just 1 year. Microsoft lists the new support periods for Dynamics Service Pack at its help and support page. Microsoft also breathed new life into some service packs where support had expired. For instance, even though Service Pack support ended in April for Microsoft Dynamics NAV 5 RTM, under the new policy, Microsoft now provides support for it until April 13, 2010. A spokesperson for the company explained that the new policy provides more time for customers and partners to plan their product upgrades and manage costs in tough economic times. In an effort to give students a portal to real-world volunteer service, the federally operated Corporation for National and Community Service has announced a partnership with Microsoft's U.S. Partners in Learning to establish a virtual help desk, an online tool aimed at helping tech-savvy students help teachers using technology in the classroom. The virtual help desk aims to offer an entree to students interested in taking their technological know-how and putting it to use for the greater good. Teachers and students throughout the country who have questions on any aspect of classroom technology can use the help desk to connect to service-minded young volunteers who can offer the benefit of their first-hand knowledge and experience using such technology. The help desk is currently being designed and developed by an advisory team of education, youth development, and nonprofit leaders from throughout the U.S. The goal, said a spokesperson, is to support the nationwide education technology community using online, phone, and where possible, on-site approaches. According to the partnership, the help desk is expected to launch for public use in January 2010. Microsoft last week announced hotfixes available for a patch to a SharePoint 2007 Service Pack 2 glitch that surfaced last month. At the time, Microsoft described the problem as a licensing reset flaw in SP2. The service pack changed the licensing of some Microsoft products to expire in 180 days, as if they were trial versions. Microsoft addressed that issue in its Knowledge Base article 971620. The KB article describes a manual workaround solution that can be applied to avoid the 180-day license glitch. Products adversely affected by SP2 include Microsoft Office SharePoint Server 2007, Project Server 2007, Form Server 2007, Search Server 2008, and Search Server 2008 Express. If left unpatched or unfixed manually, those applications will stop working upon reaching the expiration date if the user applied SP2. Microsoft has said that the SP2 problem does not adversely affect user data. And in related news, and by the way, our last news item, Zoho Office for Microsoft SharePoint is now available. It's the latest online productivity suite offering from Boston-based software-as-a-service provider, Zoho. Zoho's solution provides office-like applications via the Internet Cloud with application programming interface hooks into Microsoft's SharePoint server product. Users can store documents and collaborate in real-time through SharePoint. The app saves money that otherwise might be spent on Microsoft Office licensing, according to a Zoho company statement. The offering suggests potential turmoil for Microsoft as competition heats up in a software plus services world. Office 2010 is scheduled for release to manufacturing in the first half of next year. Microsoft is projecting some sort of licensing change as well. Zoho Office for Microsoft SharePoint sits atop SharePoint Server as an add-on and requires no client software other than a browser. Access to Microsoft's API documentation may be making this sort of integration possible. Microsoft released documentation for many of its APIs last year after years of government antitrust oversight. A number of software as a service providers, such as Alfresco, ThinkFree, and even Google, have since leveraged those APIs to integrate with Microsoft software. Customers get better integrated solutions as a result, but Microsoft could lose some market share, according to Guy Creese, Vice President and Research Director at the Burton Group. And that's it for this week's episode. Before we go, I'd like to say thanks once again to all you listeners who continue to support Redmond Radio by streaming and downloading this program, and especially those who pass this show on to your colleagues. I'm Michael Domingo. I'll chat with you here next week, right here on Redmond Radio.